has done great things.
Yes,
he has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his home.
I just want to take this opportunity real quick and just say thank you, God, for a place that put your head back on straight. Because you're out there in the world and they want you to believe what is not real is real. But we have eternity. And standing on the solid rock of the word, I'm just so thankful because it have you all messed up. You know, they have you chasing something that ain't real, something that ain't going to stay, something that's going to burn.
Right.
And just looking at the wrong things. And I just so thankful today. What really matters is the word. And we only have one Amen. Thing on our plate. And also I want to thank everybody for the gifts and everything. If I could have done anything different, I would have done it better.
We got one more thing for you. We got one more thing for you. You weren't here Sunday, so we couldn't say everything that we wanted to say. We appreciate your 30-plus. I don't even know. 30-plus. I know. I just thought 30. But it's 30-something years of working with the church, with the children. Everybody that come through that Sunday school started with you. And you and Brother Duane. So we had one more gift. We gave you all that stuff on Sunday, but we have one more thing for you that we would like to say thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I got it. With our deepest appreciation in honor of your dedication and years of loyal service, Sister Michelle Lockett, Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Best wishes and congratulations on your retirement.
Amen.
Fairborn Community Tabernacle and the many young lives you've touched. 30 plus years of faithful service since 1993.
Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful.
It's been an honor.
Thank you, guys.
Can you pull it out of there? Or is it stuck in there?
They can pull it out.
No, I was going to...
And I just want to say something else. The blanket that had the scripture on it, that's my favorite scripture.
Wow. You hold it. It's yours. Oh.
To God be all the glory.
Amen.
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 Thank you guys so much. And I still stand true. If I could have done anything different, I would have done it better.
Couldn't do it any better.
Thank you.
Perfect truth.
And I appreciate every last one of you. I appreciate having you guys in my Sunday school class, and I appreciate having your kids in my Sunday school class. So, yeah. It is the truth. It is the truth. And if I stayed back there longer, their kids would have been in the Sunday school class. So I think it's time. Amen.
Thankful to be here again.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I feel that God has really strengthened me.
Amen.
And it wasn't the wine we took or the bread. It wasn't that. It was the faith that I had stood in by me.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. He has really did a lot. I mean, I just don't know what I would do. I wouldn't be if it wasn't for him.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to be a part of this church and of the message.
Amen.
And my pastor, I'm thankful to have a pastor like him.
Yes.
I probably wouldn't stay in a church that didn't have a pressure. I just don't think I would do it, you know. Well,
amen.
One thing, I wouldn't have the desire to be here.
Amen.
And just to be a part of this family.
Amen.
This
amen.
Is my family. I feel closer to them
more
than my family. My family has all passed away. I'm the last one of the immediate family, my brothers and sisters. And I've only got a brother and sister left. And this morning, sometime, I don't know exactly what time it was, but my nephew, great nephew, passed away. He was brain dead for I don't know how long, maybe 2 years. He OD'd on heroin. And he's been laying there all this time. And the whole family tried to tell her, let him go. She would not.
Right.
And I'd get aggravated and I'd say, she's just using up the state's money, you know? I mean, it's the true bottom line. I mean, we tried to tell her, and the teachers, doctors they wanted him. I mean, they tried their best to tell her that he's not going to get no better.
Mm-hmm.
And well, for 2 years she laid like that, and she's in the Miami Valley Hospital with a AFib. I don't know what that is. Something to do with her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they called her and told her that he had passed. Well, the sad part of it is no insurance, no nothing. He's laying there. Just in no way. She don't know what she told me. She says, I need help. You know, well, you know, we all need help. I do, you know.
Amen.
And I try to look ahead for that. You know, that's something we don't want to face, but, you know, I try to keep my children, you know, to where I can do for them. If something did happen, I wouldn't want to go through what he is or she is going through now with nothing. And she's not able to work or anything. And she's never called me back after she wanted me to get a hold of. She's got 3 sisters in Kentucky, and I've not heard a thing, you know, if nothing. It's just I kind of just waiting to see what they do, you know. But I need strength and the Lord to show me what I can do on this, you know. I want to be there for her, but we've
Amen.
Been telling her for 2 years, you know, he's going to go sooner or later. And she would not let her. He's been on life support for 2 years, and she just would not let go. So God seemed fit to take him. And I'm so thankful God did do this, because he's been laying there. Right. He's begun to draw. His hands are drawn up. You know, and she just, and she, now that he's passed, she don't want the face. They want to cremate him. What she has found out, they want to cremate him in the right way. And she said, no, she's not going to. But she has no money, right. You know. And I just want to, like I say, I'm the oldest one that they come back to. And I just want to be in God's will. Amen. This year. Yes. I don't want, you know, to just come here and say it. Amen. I just feel that push that God put in me. Amen. This from New Year's Eve now. Yeah. I just feel that, you know, that push that God has put in me. Amen. Just pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. We'll be praying for God to have his way. You know, she's right. We all need help. You know, sometimes I try to downplay it and say, you know, I haven't been through nothing. You know, maybe I need to go through something traumatic, and then I'll have some big testimony or something. Like, no, we all go through things. We all overcome. We all need each other. I'm not increased in good and have need of nothing. I need the Word. I need God. I need the body. I'm part of this, you know.
Amen.
I go through things, too. I get the blues. I go through things, but I've overcome a lot.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to be here. You know, my coworker that fell through the ceiling, Mother Teresa, she is back to work. She's doing well. She had a back brace on. She was in an office chair today on her swivel chair. So I was messing with her a little bit, talking to her and stuff. But she could turn and talk to me. And my mom's mother-in-law is doing well, too. They got all the tubes out, and open heart surgery was a success. And she ate some food, and she's in good health. So, amen. Go ahead.
I just didn't want to sit down on God. It was a struggle. He's been so good. For this, the first service after that wonderful New Year's service we had, and every year I've been coming here and I've been to a New Year's service. Every time God speaks what we're going to do for that year, it always comes to pass, even if we don't know how. And I'm grateful to have heard that. And the real reason that it was difficult is because God let me know that this was the year, and he already started manifesting this towards the end of the year, that he's going to clean up and polish me. I mean, I'm already a finished work for him. You know, he's just polishing and cleaning. And it's been manifesting at my house. It's been manifesting at my job. And that he loves me enough to where he's going to let me know that he's doing that for me, and that I'm going to make it. And that is a rest. And I know that when we testify, we get held to the fire. And I'm going to put my stake in. If God wants me to polish and clean, if God wants to straighten me out more, I'm here. Use me.
You know, I'm happy to be here. I just, I want to testify and, you know, just go on record. You know, I've been loving the services that we've been having, and, you know, it's beautiful New Year's service and the morning service and evening service, but, you know, I still have to have a present tense God. I love me a present tense God. I'm really, at the end of the day, I need to hear him speak to me. I need to come out here and, you know, spread my wings a little bit and kind of let my hair down and stuff. You know, it's been good. From Sunday to now, God's already been bragging on me. He's already been boasting to Satan about me, because I've been seeing all the problems come left and right. Every single thing's been hitting me. You know, everything I've testified come right back on me almost like 100-fold. So God's getting ready to do something big. And I'm just so excited. 2024, we're here. And we still need our marching orders. That's what I'm really here for, to hear from God, because I need to go out there and still manifest him. And as long as we're here, as long as I'm here, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to punctuate every word that comes off this pulpit with an amen. That's my job, and I'm glad to be here. Amen.
Get in here before it gets gone. You know, it's been a whole year since I've testified.
Yeah.
No, but it is good to be here. And amen. I tell you what, I have changed my thinking.
All right.
You know, we've turned a corner. We've turned quite a large corner, and I get a kick out of it because, you know, eventually you only can turn so many corners before you're done until it's a finished work. You know, but, you know, I was like, you know what? I am so thankful. I am just so eternally grateful for everything God's given me. I'm thankful for waking up this morning. I'm thankful for health. You know, I'm not in a bed.
Yes.
I'm not laid out. Yeah. You know, we take it for such granted, you know, because you get so used to walking until you can't walk.
That's it.
You get so used to testifying until you can't raise your hands. You get so used to being here until you can't be here. And then he starts to change your thinking. And it's exciting because, you know, for so long I tried to do something. Seth tried to produce something. I tried to manifest something. I realized, you know what? I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I am exactly what God wants me to be. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I am him. You know, it's funny because we sit there when we really, you know, almost, I don't know, speak for myself, like almost like a Trinitarian thinking, you know, like, well, you know, Lord, if it's your will, I have the same revelation, the same power that Christ had. Well, he said, Lazarus, get up. He said, one person, get up. I got to get up a whole body.
Yeah.
I have a big work to do.
Yes.
So it's going to require a lot of faith.
Yes.
And I want to sit on that faith. And, you know, faith is, you know, it's evidence of things unseen. Until I see that body change, then it's a revelation.
Yeah.
Then it's revealed. Then it's history. It's past tense. Then I'll have that body change in a moment, twinkling an eye. But the fact I know is, they talked about on New Year's, you know, just don't even worry about it. Because we have a prescription. I love that. You start talking about prescription. That you start talking about that's my course of treatment.
Right.
Everybody comes in looking for a magic pill. The whole world wants a magic pill. They're looking out for forms and fashions and trying to get in big churches with big numbers and beautiful music and bright lights. We're in a manger. They missed it. What came out of Fairborn?
We're Fairborn.
The bride body came out of Fairborn.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're like, it's, you see the how it ties in.
Yeah.
So I love it because I woke up, I've been waking up, and it's just, it's peace because I'm not worried about, I have to go to work. Yes. I have to plant my potatoes while I'm still here. And work is, people have lost their minds.
Yeah.
But you know what? Oh, you can walk, you can control that atmosphere.
Yeah, you can.
You can decide what day you're going to have.
Yeah.
You can get up and you can say, you know what? I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to have a bad day. Or you can get up and say, not today, Satan.
Not today.
You know what? We're gonna have aches and pains. This body has to be changed.
Right.
As long as you have to wash, as long as you have to shower, you need to come in here.
Right.
Because this is where we get sharpened and tempered.
Yes,
and you miss it. And a day and age like this, I don't want to miss it because I don't want to be the one who gets visited home by one of you guys. I want to be in the first day.
Right.
Not the later days. But, you know, I am thankful that I have a group of believers that I can come in and identify with. That's a benefit.
Yes.
Because I can say, you know what? I am God in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to look at you like, amen. You say that out there, they're going to be like, what did he just say? What did he just say? You know, this is the time. This is the easiest place I should be able to testify. This is the, I should talk the boldest on Wednesdays. Yeah. I should talk the boldest on Sunday and Sunday night. It's Thursday through Saturday, you know, that Satan likes to, you know, when the shepherd's away, you know. But I'm so glad I get to come in here one more time in 2024. The first Wednesday service of 2024, I get to get up here and say, identify with this. Because this is it.
This is it.
We're going to have eventually one more turn to where we're going to pierce that veil and we're going to see our loved ones. I love the fact of it that I'm not waiting here. I have nothing to hold me back. I'm not working on myself. I'm not caring. You know, I go as I am.
Yeah.
Like the woman said, go as you are.
Amen.
But I am ready, but yet I'm not trying to kill myself. Amen. I'm going through this life. I'm enjoying it.
Amen.
I love the fact of every person I meet because you know who you are. You know, if you didn't know who you are, you'd be out there looking for something too.
That's right.
But when you have a revelation, understanding of who you are, you're not torn.
Nope.
When the devil comes at you and tries to throw a situation, you're like, I'm doing something right.
Amen.
If the devil tries to fight you, he's trying to distract you.
There it is.
Like Brother Jay said that one time.
Yep.
Everything was lined up. That I was blocked in. He's like, oh, it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
I had one of those situations today where I'm like, oh, It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Yep.
That means I have to be in the house of God.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens is he'll make the flesh comfortable.
Yeah.
He'll make the spirit comfortable. Mm-hmm. But that soul knows.
Yeah.
That soul knows. That eternal attribute knows where I'm going to get my bread buttered.
Yes.
I'm not going to get it buttered at home when I'm only 6 minutes, 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
If I have the ability to be here, I have an obligation to be here.
Oh, yes.
That's what 2024 brings, is an obligation to this body.
Amen.
It's not a matter of like, well, you know, Lord, if it's your will.
No,
I'm looking for a body change.
That's what I'm looking for.
I'm looking to get the dead up.
Amen.
I'm not looking for a happenstance or, you know, me just stumbling onto a revelation. I am eagerly seeking it.
Amen.
I am looking forward to seeing my loved ones.
Amen.
I look forward to them in every single turn. I'm like, is this it? That's what it is now. It's like, oh, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Like Dwayne has said, the Lily was gone missing. Like, oh, must be the rapture. It must be the rapture. That's how real it is to me. I'm not looking for it could be. I'm not looking for minutes to midnight. I'm looking for it now.
Amen.
I'm looking for every service when I come in here. This is my last service.
Every opportunity.
And I wake up in the morning, I'm like, well, Lord, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not like, oh, Lord, why did you leave me here? What, did I miss it? Was I not good enough? Did I not live up to your expectations? I'll never live up to your expectations. But that's why you died on the cross. I didn't have to. You paid the price. You did all the hard work.
Yeah.
They did the hard things, the restoration, all that stuff. Well, I can just still claim it. I can lay my hands on it. I'm tied to that body. But I have an easy job. All I have to do is I'm ready. I'm the little bride with my suitcase waiting at the door. Like, all right.
That's
and
it.
I hear the footsteps coming. Yeah, I hear the rains coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I'm waiting for is a manifestation.
Amen.
And there has to be a manifestation.
Has to.
Israel will only get so hot before.
Yeah.
And they can't even mess with Israel until I'm gone.
Amen.
You have everything in line.
Yes.
I know what's done. I know the shout, the voice, and the trump's been done. I know before that the 3.5-year tribulation, I have to be out. It's not even for me.
Yeah.
So what else is there? What else is there? So I just want to come up here and say, you know, Lord, thank you for revelation.
Yeah.
Thank you for understanding who I am in this day, that I had a personal revelation.
Yeah.
But thank you for a rest.
Yeah.
You know, you could have all these New Year's resolutions and they're man-made. They'll fail. You'll go to the gym for a week and you'll quit. You'll do a diet for 2 months and you'll quit. That's like, you know, the agape love and filial love. You'll feel good towards your brother. But then you realize who you really are and how much grace I got. I'll be the first person to give you grace.
Amen.
I'll be the first person because I need it so much. Every day I wake up, I'm like, Lord, let me be a better believer. I even pray different. I'm like, Lord, touch these hands. Touch my heart. Touch my mind. Take any feelings, because dealing with these people, they're neurotic. And the last thing, you almost want to curse them. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, I swear, if someone says they need another Z-Pack, I'm going to lose it. But I'm like, what do you need? Because you can walk into a room, you can just change the whole entire demeanor. Like, you know what? It's going to be okay.
Amen.
Drink some water. Go rest. It's going to be all right. Everyone's in a rat race to get better. I'm already better. As far as I'm concerned, I am beautifully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
You can't get any more perfect than this. I know the only next perfect stage I'll have, I'll be like that.
Yes.
Done. I'll be celebrating with Brother Chillers, Brother Neil, Sister Alice, Brother Danny, and Sister Lois.
Amen.
All my loved ones I see through these pictures, because that's the bride I'm going to be seeing.
Amen.
That's my loved ones I'll be seeing. Every single one.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that aren't here that should be here, I'll see them.
Amen.
The ones who have helped me through my life. The ones that even I forget, but I'm like, you know that one guy that one time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see them.
Yeah.
That's a rest.
Amen.
Because you're not trying to like sit on, let me write down, what's your name?
Nope.
Stephen?
Stephen?
No. If a glass of water is enough to give eternal life,
Amen.
This world, you know what's been too kind to me. I don't even want to give the devil credit thinking negativity.
No.
So you know what? It's been just a beautiful thing, because left and right, I'm just like, I never forget that service with Brother Jeremiah was talking about laying down the baggage. You can't raise your hands if your hands are tied down.
Come on.
No. You can't clap your hands. This is the one time we get to spread our wings and be amongst believers.
Yes.
And I don't want to be stagnant on a bench. I want to get up and say, you know what? I believe this.
I'm in service.
This is, I want to have a good time.
Yeah.
We talk about New Year's, you go out and get drunk on New Year's. I get a different kind of drunk. I get different kind of, it gets so bad. Well, I sat down next to Carol one time, the wrong family. I didn't know where I was at because it scared her. But that's how it real is to me, because this is the, you can get out of your comfort zone. You can shake off that flesh and you can really pick it up.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
that spirit will come, that it will light. And then you light the whole pulpit on fire. You'll light the, we're pulling on the preacher. Right. Preacher's pulling on us. It's a body ministry.
Yeah.
So I love this revelation. Yes. I love for an opportunity I get to get in here one more time. Because all I'm looking for is that one more time will be the last time.
Yeah.
That last turn, and I will be home. And I will have fulfilled my job.
Yes.
And after that, it's rest.
Yeah.
It's a wedding supper.
Yes.
Going down to show I can break a curse for 1,000 years. Right. And then I get to live an eternity with my Savior. I'm like,
yes.
It don't get no better than that.
Amen.
Real quick, I want to hear the preacher, but you know, we're having chili tonight. And boy, I had a chance to anything, James said, something wrong with this. And I said, yeah, what is that? What'd you forget? And she said she used a different seasoning packet, you know, Kroger's brand. I said, I have to go back to McCormick's, you know. What we normally use. And I was thinking about how, you know, this thing's got to be seasoned just right. Yeah, that's right. Fitly joined together, you know, bring about the increase to the body. And every little bit of what you have is needed. You know,
yes.
I'm sitting there through the day, and I said, I don't have to say anything tonight. I'm not going to say anything tonight. I'm making a point not saying anything tonight. And I can't do it. I love this too much. I see it too much. Yeah. And you think I'd learn after a while, but you sit there and you know, you go around and around. But, you know, the thing I heard there, what was it, Sunday night, Brother Moore said, a greater dedication, a greater desire, you know, this year. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, salvation's of the Lord. I can't save myself. I believed it. He saved me, you know. And it's just how the thing works, you know. You can have as much God as you want.
That's right.
You'll never want more than what he has to offer. And but that desire and that dedication, you know, to the word, not to living better, not to, you know, building hospitals or something like that. You know, it's just an eagerness.
Amen.
Just a desire. When that word comes forth, and step out on that thing so quick.
Amen.
You know, like Brother Childers always told me, Don, don't wait. I got tired of hearing it. You know, but more and more I think the things that Brother Childers taught us, you know, in the natural, I think is more spiritual.
Amen.
You know, he always had an underlying, there was something he's trying to get through to us. But you know, it's just that desire. I want a greater desire, a greater love for the truth.
Yes.
And you think, you know, how could you want it more? But you want it more. He'll show
Amen.
You how. You know, he'll always meet the need. And I think about, you know, eternity, how that we think, you know, we got things understood, you know. We know what they ain't got a clue. Not a clue. You know, in these little finite minds, you know, we're thinking about what the other side will be, and you think about it very much, it'll scare you. Because I have no clue what it is. You know, eye has not seen, ear not heard, neither entered into the hearts of man the thing that the Lord has prepared. But one thing I do know, it's gonna be good.
Amen.
It's gonna be beyond good. You know, Brother Bram went beyond the curtain of time, he said it was beyond sublime. And you know, so it's worth giving everything to.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, and me and my little insecurities, you know, and insufficiencies. And Brother Branham said that his whole life. You know, right. We come in such insufficiency, and we all feel that way. But he hath made us accepted and beloved. And,
yes.
You know, and I want to step out on that. I want to step out on, you know, Lord, whatever you want.
Amen.
You know, that's my opening testimony.
Yes.
So, Lord, whatever you want this year. Let me jump.
Amen.
You know. Amen.
Amen.
I've been thinking a bit about praise and worship lately, and we've got lots of songs that praise him for what he's done. You know, I could jump up and down and be a Pentecostal and say, look what the Lord has done. I could sing the old rugged cross. That's what he's done. We got lots more. Talks about what he's going to do. I'll fly away. You know, one day he'll bless me, but we got very few songs that actually talk about a real God, an on-time God, the great I am, who exists in the present. And we had them singing in here for a while. Can we sing, He's an On-Time God?
I can find the page.
It's not in the book. That's Courtney.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Amen.
Let's sing that and we'll get him up.
Amen.
You can ask the children of Israel, trapped at the Red Sea. By that mean old Pharaoh and his army, they had water all around them, and Pharaoh on their backs. But from out of nowhere, God stepped in and cut a highway just like that. Well, let me tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, oh, oh.
He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Tell you he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Can ask the 5,000 hungry souls he fed on the banks of the river with two fish and five loaves of bread. And what a miracle he performed for the multitude. And what he did way back then, he'll do today for me and you. Let me tell you, he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
One more time. Yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Let's sing it one more. Yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be time. Yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Dear God, you've always been on time. Never too early, never too late. Lord, thank you for being something we can stand on, something we can count on, Lord. You, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one of your words, one of your promises will ever fail. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we're here once again, another year, Lord, and another service. Lord, we're asking that you just continue to have your way. Move both the hearer and the speaker out of the way, Lord. You know what we need. You know what will help us. You know what questions we have, Lord. You've seen this service before the foundation of the world. We ask that you have your way. Be with this body, Lord. had a lot of prayers over the last services. Lord, be with Sister Dawn, bringing her healing to her body. Be with Sister Keene and her family. Sister Sway, continue to bring strength to her body. Lord, you know each and every need. And you said, by your stripes we're healed. And we're standing and counting on that. Bless Brother Jim and his family, Lord, as they are going to have a service for his father, Lord. And we thank you for an understanding, Lord, that we know that they're in a better place. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Have your way with the rest of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everybody tonight. And see your smiling faces. And the Lord's been good to us. And you can tell it through your testimonies that we're not really a negative church. We are a positive church. And that's the way we should be. Because, quite honestly, if you look at this Bible, you find it telling us we're more than conquerors, more than able. You wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. And on and on and on. I don't find us losing, I find us winning. And we thank God for that. And so if we believe the word, that's how we talk, because we talk after the word. Because anything else is a lie. And if God said in his word, we can stand on it, we can count on it, and we know it is true. And we had good services over the weekend and enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, we always have good services here. And then when we get to New Year's, we really try to celebrate a little bit. And it was a great celebration. And thankful for all the Lord has done for us. And Brother Deskin says, I think we all would echo that. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You know, what he wants is what I want to do. And, you know, there really is no other place. I'd rather be on New Year's than serving God like we do. Been doing it for quite a few years, and it's never let me down. Now, maybe when I was 8, 9, 10, I didn't want to be here. You know, as Jane says, you know, in your kid, that's a long service. But when you get that new birth and God starts dealing with you and God starts talking to you, you enjoy the word. You enjoy being around it. And even if you come and you're worried about being tired, you know what ends up happening is you get caught up in the spirit. And you get caught up into what God's talking to you about, and you kind of forget time. You lose track of time, and then before you know it, it's midnight. And you're thinking, my goodness, I hope we can get communion in, you know. Because it goes so well. I mean that positively, you know. And it's nice to let God have his way. We've been well trained here, right? Not a program, not cookie cutted, not already figured out. You just let the leading of the Lord lead, you know. And that's really what Brother Branham taught. You know, he taught church order and conduct order and doctrine, and we believe it. But if you really read that and you read between the lines, Brother Branham believed in the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, he didn't really believe in cookie-cutter Christians and copying after somebody just to copy after somebody. He wanted the leading of the Holy Ghost, you know. And I thank God for that, because that's what we want too. Amen. Because anything else, you know, man gets involved. Now, on one side, that coin I just described, you know, God is using man. We know that. But as we've said before, I'm 100% man, I'm 100% God. I can let my carnal thinking get in the way. I can, as we've said plenty of times, I can come up here with a pre-planned message, have all these notes up here, and those that God uses that way, God bless them. But you can almost pre-plan something and not give any room for God. Even if I was a preacher, and I was a preacher that God dealt with a lot of notes, you want to give room for God. Right. No matter how many quotes you got, if you read 20, read them in the order he told you to, you know, is what you need to do. And read them when he wants you to, you know. And then if you bring 20, he doesn't want you to read any of them. Leave them be. And because I thank God for leadership like that, you know. And that's how I think sometimes you know it's God, right? Because it works out. It goes just the way it's supposed to. Everything connects together when you let God lead. And so we're thankful for that. And that's what we did again on New Year's, and we had a good time. And so thankful for everything. And we're in 2024, and who would have ever thought we'd get to 2024? But you know what? We're here, and it must mean we got work to do. And so I want to be able to do that work. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. I thought I might only have one scripture tonight, but I might have more than one. So just bear with me here and let God have his way. But, you know, I'm getting ready to read a scripture here, and we're going to read from verse 24 down for a little bit, so bear with me. But, you know, I got a different title, but I really something that just stuck out to me this past weekend is focusing on the right thing, you know, and making sure that you're looking at things the right way and that you're not, I guess another way to phrase it, you're not trying to do the wrong thing out of season. You know, don't want to jump too far ahead here, but, you know, we want to look at this thing right. And so turn to Luke 7, start with verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. See, you know, that was John's real name, you know, just to stop there for a minute, is the word that he was manifesting. Right, Jesus called him, this is he, this is who he is. Right. He's the one that came to prepare my way. He's the word of God. That's his scripture. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now think about that statement here. No man greater than a shoe leather walking than John. Greatest prophet we ever had. But he that's least in the kingdom is greater than he. You got to look at things the right way. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. No matter what God does, they miss him. That's the point that Jesus is making. I can come and be so obvious in front of you. I can pipe a song where you should be dancing, and you don't even dance. And it can be a mournful time, and you don't even weep. And then when I send you John, who didn't eat or drink, you'd miss him. And then when I come and try to get along with you and eat and drink, you miss me. You miss God. That's what the world does. The unbeliever does every time. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And I just want to read another story here. Just bear with me. We're talking about looking at things the right way. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. We know this story. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. I got to keep reading because I'm ready to preach. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who, what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Oh, he's just looking at things all wrong. And Jesus answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Amen. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, I like that story. My title tonight is Looking for the Right Thing. People miss God left and right. And Lord, help me get this thing in the right order. But these people here, Jesus was rebuking them, saying, I'll come and play pipes before you. You don't know the dance. I'll cry before you. You don't know to cry. I send you John. You missed him. I see the Son of Man. People not looking for the right thing. I mean, as even Seth was saying, you know, they thought he was going to come in some great majestic way, but he's come in a manger. And they should have been expecting him. They should have been looking for him. The scriptures, the prophecies, everything said he was coming. And yet here he comes and fulfills the scriptures, yet they miss him. But here's a little woman full of sin, full of problems. You know, even Jesus said her sins are many. But she knew what to look for, and she saw God. And she found the right thing, and she was focused on the right thing. And she couldn't help but serve God. She couldn't help but do really what was right, so to speak. She was in the same condition. I do all the things that please the Father. Why? Because she saw the right thing, recognized God, and then you get that real revelation, you can't help but serve God in the way he wants to be served.
Amen.
Now, I used the word looking because I've been thinking about focusing, but I thought, well, we talked a little bit about that Sunday, so let me put a different title in there. But when I looked this up, this so happened, our brother Branham preached a message called Look. I think it was 1964 time frame. I might have read that once. I don't know, but I read it a lot this week because I thought he had a lot of things in there that was pretty good. I might get to a quote. But the thing is he used look and focus interchangeably. So I thought I can do the same thing because you got to focus on the right thing.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, I was even thinking a little bit this week, and I want to say this point because sometimes if you don't understand the whole story, you can get off a little bit. You know, we talk about focusing on the right thing, and we talk about the only thing on our plate is the rapture. That's 100% the truth. But you got to realize, you as an individual, as long as you're here, you got things that God's using you for, things you're going to do, people you're going to touch. And you as an individual, God's talking to you personally. He sends you to where you work. He sends you to where you shop. He sends you to whatever places you go, and that is God walking and living through you, doing the work of the day.
Amen.
We know that. And so focusing on the right thing as you as an individual is focusing on the Word of God. It's on what God is telling you and giving you marching orders for your day-to-day life.
Amen.
That's what we all should do as an individual.
Amen.
Now, don't get me wrong. No matter if I'm working on my career, because God said, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. And I'm focused on it. I also know at the same time, he could come tomorrow. And I know that. And I'm excited about that. And that's really what I'm looking for. But as long as I'm here, you know what I'm trying to do, Brother Moore? I'm trying to focus on what God has told me to do.
Amen.
That's what we're all accountable for.
Amen.
God comes in here and talks to each of us as individuals that make up a body.
Right.
We're all got that little ingredients we add, Brother Deskins. He's going to tell you to do something. He's going to tell Brother Moore to do something. He's going to call for me to do something. And my job walking and serving God is I have a desire.
Amen.
I want to do that.
Amen.
Now, I'm not suggesting that we won't fall down sometimes and make mistakes, but the desire of the bride
Amen.
Is to look to the Word.
Amen.
You know, that's the real summary of it all when I say focus on the right thing. Focus on the right things, focus on the Word. Because
yes.
Even if we're talking about focus on the Word, that means focus on your day's message because what Word is happening right now. But don't get confused. Your job, as long as you're living and breathing, Brother Bram taught us, plant your potatoes.
Right.
The rapture comes tomorrow. Right. Plant your potatoes all the way up to the rapture. Because that's the question that Brother Bram dealt with. He told them, plant your potatoes.
Right.
But more recently, we answered that question. Because as long as we're here, as long as I'm breathing, I've got the revelation of God. I am the mouthpiece of God. I am the manifestation of God. I am the greater works. You realize we're manifesting the greater works with every heartbeat? What is the greater works? Jesus said, you should do the greater works. Brother Bram told us that just meant more. And let me slow down. Jesus was just one man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in one man. So in order to find God in that day, you had to find Jesus. You had to be where he was at. But today, that same fullness is in a many-membered bride body. I can find God here. I can find God here. I can find God here. I can find him in the Philippines. I can find him in Africa. It's a worldwide bride of Jesus Christ. All carrying all the elements of God in us. In that sense, taking the spoonful of the ocean's got all the elements of the ocean in it. So I got God in me. I got all the elements of God in me in that sense. I'm right there as a representative of God. He's using me. He's using you. And we make up the body of Jesus Christ. So if he's telling you, just use an example, you should go to college. You should focus on college. You should focus to keep your grades up. Now, people, I'm here to tell you, before I finish, you better believe I'm going to be focused on the rapture. I got a scripture up here for you. Trust me. I'm not off that. But as long as you wake up tomorrow and he's told you to focus on your grades and focus on college, you know what you should do? Focus on your grades. Focus on your getting ready for college. I'm just trying to use simple examples. You don't just throw that out. Well, the rapture's coming tomorrow. Well, the rapture's coming tomorrow. Tonight, focus on your grades and get ready for college. That's how this thing works. And that's a simple example, but it could be so many things in our each individual lives. We know what God's asked of us. You know it. I know mine. You know yours. I don't need to know yours. It's on a need-to-know basis. And I don't need to know. But the point being, you're focused on the right things when you're focused on what God's talking to you about. What word he's putting in your life. What he's convicting you about. What he's asking of you to do. That's what you should focus on every day that you're alive and breathing. Yeah. And on this side of things, God's using you. He's manifesting through you.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know what? I pray we're gone tomorrow. That you never have to go to college. And it could be tomorrow. And I'm not looking for it to be another 50 years. I'll be real honest with you. Amen. I'm just sitting here, just want to throw that in there a little bit. But if you're here tomorrow and you're still breathing, right, focus on those little things that God's asking you to do. If he's dealing with you to sing, practice that song. I'm trying to use a simple one. I can give you some hard ones, but if he's telling you to get baptized, ask for some water. You know, it's just all I'm saying. Just because the rapture's coming tomorrow, you know, it doesn't mean we're stopped doing what God's asking us to do in our every individual daily life. God comes in here service after service and deals with us as a body, but also deals with us as individuals. Talks to each and every one of us. Knows what all of our needs are. And I can say this, not because I got some quote I'm going to read to you, because I sit right here on service. And God talks to me personally every service. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me that needs the marching orders. It's me that needs the instructions. It's me that needs to be this thing to be brightened up for. Now, part of that individual walk ties me right back to this body. And then I'm going to get right back focused to the rapture because that's where we are as a bright body. Because I'm walking here every day. I'm trying to do what he asked me to do, Brother Moore. I want that desire to grow stronger. I want to be that much more focused. I want to be that much more honed in. Now, in that message, look, Brother Brandon was talking about a camera. You take a picture, you know, you can first look even on your phone. If you the wrong distance, it can be out of focus. You got to focus in on what you're looking at, right? Because you could get it off. If you're looking through a scope and you're not focused right, it won't hit the target. Right. And Brother Bram said that Holy Ghost gets us all focused just right. Amen. This is what the Holy Ghost meant to do. Lead and guide you into all truth. Yeah, right. I wanted to say that one more time. The summary of focusing on the right things or looking for the right things is looking for the Word of God. Amen. It's all connected to the Word. Yeah. Right. But we also know what goes right behind that is it's your word for your day and it's our. Because I always like to use Noah and Moses because that's so plain. If Moses came and Egypt. And God didn't say it was going to rain when Moses was here. I'm here to tell you, Egypt's dry. Egypt's a desert. Egypt doesn't get much rain. I think it might have some coast near the water somewhere. It probably gets a little rain there. But generally speaking, Egypt is dry, dry. You know? So if Moses went down there and tried to build a boat in Egypt to bring out the children of Israel, because that's what Noah did, it would not have worked. That was not his commission. That was not his job. That was not what he was supposed to be honed in on. That, God didn't tell Moses to take a boat down. He said, take that rod, put it in your hand, go with Aaron, and go down there and lead my people out. So when you're focusing on the right thing, you're focused on your day and its message. It doesn't change that Noah's story was true. Just like it doesn't change that Luther's message was right, and Wesley's message was right, and Pentecost's message was right for the day and hour that they were living in. It's still the truth. But if that's all I was preaching today, I would be focusing and looking at the right, wrong thing. You got to look at this thing the right way. Now, I want to slow down a little bit. You know, I was even saying Sunday, but you read about Jesus, it becomes more and more clear, the more revelation you get, that that man was focused on the right thing. Because what he did is he broke the, I'll call them man-made traditions, creeds, dogmas, amen, ideas, tradition of the elders. And I'll even go as far as say he really kind of broke the law. He broke the law. And so if you don't know how to read that right, you would be like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Jesus would be a rascal, an unbeliever. You call him an infidel. You call him Beelzebub. You do just what they did. This man doesn't follow any of our traditions. He eats with unwashed hands. He heals on the Sabbath. I mean, this story even here with this woman. A man that let a woman with that type of history come wash his feet. That by itself didn't look right. But we said often Jesus just stuck his feet out and was relaxed. He wasn't worried about Simon. Matter of fact, he knew he was going to rebuke Simon. He looked at somebody with the right desire. Somebody that had recognized God and saw God for the day that she was living. To the point she took everything she had and get, and in that sense was offering it up to him. Let me wash you with everything I got, so to speak. But Jesus was sitting there, the Sadducees around him saying, if this man just knew who she was, he would not allow her near him. But Jesus was focused on the right thing. He was looking for the right thing. He was looking for somebody that recognized him. And Jesus didn't get caught up in the traditions of man, traditions of the elders, traditions of the Pharisees. He was focused in on his commission. He was focused in on his job. He knew what he was sent for. He knew who he was. And he went about his Father's business. And that's how the bride is. You know, I don't even really want to say that's how we should be. That's really how we are. Because I've watched this bride. She talks bold. Amen. She'll do things that breaks the tradition of the elders. Right. Amen. You know, I was thinking about Brother Brown this week when he preached marriage and divorce. And he told the people that were caught in marriage second time or more, and that had broke Romans 7, the Bible. And he said, go as you are. God gave me permission to tell you that. Don't have time to break these things up. You know what? You could say what he was is God was saying, focus on the right thing. Amen. Trying to break these marriages up and get all this stuff right, not the right thing. No. Tell them to go as they are. Extend the grace out to him. Amen. Brother Branham was focused on the right thing. Yeah. But you know, I was thinking, God's so good to us because in marriage and divorce, Brother Branham talked about having permission from God to come down and do that. But when he got in the rising of the sun, he tells us that woman that came to him says, I guess you just take the place of God, don't you? And he said, that's another Pharisee spirit. Now, what I like about rising of the sun, Brother Branham puts it in the bride. He doesn't just stop it at him at that point in time. He brings it to the bride because, see, another Pharisee, and he goes over to Matthew 16. He says, don't forget Jesus told Peter, what you loose and what you bind will be loosed and bound in heaven. He said, that's the word made flesh in the groom, but today it's the word made flesh in the bride. Amen. He put that right in the bride of Jesus Christ. And we know it's done by revelation, not by carnality. And he said that too. But that's the bride. He said, this ain't just even me, it's only as a prophet. The bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man on the scene. And that same authority is in her. Amen. That gets me excited. But you know what that does, Brother Morgan? That's a long time ago. That broke the traditions. Amen. That broke the traditions of the elders. Amen. But the bride grabbed a hold of that. Amen. The bride saw that and said, I know who I am. I know what my job is. And I'm not afraid to step out on it. And look at things the right way. Amen. And handle things the right way. We've been taught a long time here. And I'm not going to stay long on it because we've been taught a long time here. Looking at people the right way. We know no man after the flesh. That's not what I'm trying to look at. I'm not really focused on trying to get you clean up spotless to be ready for the rapture. That's not what makes you ready for the rapture. I always love Brother Branham's quote. And it was to us, it's something we've heard a lot, but to the people sitting there, imagine hearing all these years Brother Branham preaching, and Brother Branham says, what we've had up to now. All the healings you've seen. And all the good living we've done. Because he preached it, and we believe that. But he certainly had preached a lot of that up to then. And all the things you've seen me do.
Right.
Up till now.
Right.
We have not had enough.
Amen.
To get the bride ready.
That's
for a rapture.
Right.
Oh, think about that statement. That's easy for us. But back then, yeah. Sitting around him, seeing all the miracles.
Right.
And he looks at you and said, but we still don't have what we need yet to get ready for a rapture. We need the seven thunders. You got to focus on the right thing. You got to be looking for the right thing. Brother Branham had realized we have come as far as we can in the written word. I got to go to those seals now. They've got to be open because I need what's written between the lines so that we can see the whole picture.
Amen.
And you know, that's where the bride is. The book's been opened to her. She knows who she is. She knows how to look at things the right way. And I'm not judging you at your flesh. Because you know what? I'm like a little bit like this woman here. I'm going to love a lot because I've needed a lot of grace. I've needed a lot of forgiveness. And Brother Moore's always said that. It's easier to forgive when you needed it yourself. If you're walking around and feeling like you've done so good and you got everything right and every T crossed and every I dotted, you're going to look down your nose more often than not at somebody else that you don't think is doing as good as you. And I'm not celebrating sin, but when you realize you're guilty and you need God, that it's likely if there is the tomorrow, you're going to need grace tomorrow because you needed it today and you needed it the day before.
Amen.
When somebody comes and says, forgive me, it's a lot easier to look at that person and says, don't worry about it.
Amen.
I'm focused on the right thing anyhow. I'm looking at the right thing anyhow. You know what we've been taught here, and I like to say, I'm looking at somebody who has the Word of God. I'm looking at somebody that's focused in on the job and the hour that we're in.
Amen.
I'm looking at somebody that can come and preach a message that tastes good, as Brother Destin says. Because I'm picky about my food.
Amen.
But if you can come in here and you're focused on our day and this message, and you're putting me in the eighth day, and you're telling me it's time to get out of here, and you're telling me to forgive people, I can get along with you.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what you did to me.
Right.
Or didn't do to me, or what I did to you. It could be the other way. But if you're focused on the right thing, I ain't got no problem with you.
Amen.
That's why Jesus didn't have a problem with her.
Right.
She was doing the right thing.
Amen.
He said, that faith has saved you.
Amen.
Go and sin no more. Go in peace.
Amen.
If you're focused on the right thing right now, I just want to get along with you.
Amen.
I don't need it on all your business and all your problems and all the things you went through and all the things you're going through. And you don't need to repent to me over the 20 things that you thought about me.
Right.
Just come in here and give me the truth, or come in here and say amen to the truth. Come in here and serve God. And you and I are brothers and sisters as far as I'm concerned. Because I don't want to have to give you all my details. The devil's in the details like that. That's why sometimes it's not good to tell all the details. Because some people want to get up and say all the details. I did this, I've done this, I did that. That doesn't help anybody. I'm here to tell you, you're better off not knowing what most people did. It ain't helping you none. You know, all it's going to do is create an avenue for the devil to try to bother you for a while. He's going to try to come and talk to you. Now, we know we can kick him out and not let him stay there, but he's going to come with that. Somebody says, do you know what Sister Keene did yesterday? That ain't going to help you. It's going to put her influence and then open you up for the devil. There's no good that's going to come out of that. You look at it the right way. She's a church. She's amen in the Word of God. She gets here every time she can. I heard her Sunday night saying God revealed another revelation to her. And she dropped her old thinking. That's the kind of way I want to talk about somebody. Talk about the positive. Talk about the God-serving part of them. Don't look at their flesh and their problems. You'll see something wrong, but look at what God's doing for them. Amen. Look at that desire. Look at that soul. Look at that person saying amen to every word of God. Amen. I hope this is making sense. I'm just talking about looking at the right thing, focusing on the right thing, because you could be looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of messages. You can be looking at somebody falling asleep in here. And criticize it. But Morris tells a story. I don't see any miracles in here. And the person didn't even have a clue. Miracle in Brother Moore's hand. Standing right there. You know, I'm going to say this real quick just because it came to my mind. When we came to service Sunday morning and Sunday night, our dog that we love so dearly, she was in bad shape. Bad shape. I was worried that we were going to come home and find her not alive. And you know, we prayed for that thing, both services. And God knows when we got home after New Year's service, that dog was well. Now, that's a simple thing.
Yeah.
But I just want to remind the devil, God does little things like that all the time for us.
Yeah.
All the time, Brother Deskin.
Yes.
You're just looking for the wrong thing is what the people's problem are, Brother Moore. You got to be looking at this thing right, looking for the right thing.
Amen.
Folks, and you know what's great about this bride? We're on the right thing.
Amen.
When I see a bride here, Brother Moore, we're focused on it. We're not trying to do a day old.
Nope.
We're right here at the rapture.
Amen.
I'm going to get to it. I already told you I got my scripture coming.
Oh,
don't worry. I got my scripture coming.
Amen.
But this is good too. Because I like being able to walk around the earth and know how to look at things right.
Amen.
I like being able to how to judge people right. Because that's another thing people don't know how to do is walk in this earth and treat people right, judge people right, handle people, handle situations.
Amen.
But God's been so good to us and given us so many instructions that we even know how to handle everybody we meet. In the right way.
Amen.
You know, God come in here the right way. Sometimes you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah.
See, I've seen him do that.
Amen.
See, that's why you can never take away the rebuke.
Amen.
God has a right to do that every time he
Amen.
Wants.
Amen.
I like saying that because Brother Childers used to say that. You know, don't get it so weak you take away the rebuke. That's always allowed in here.
Amen.
And if God tells you to work, you know what the focus on the right thing for you means?
Yeah.
Get to work.
Amen.
Get a job.
Amen.
Go fill out some applications.
Amen.
But God can, he knows how to give the answer to every single person he's dealing with.
Amen.
Knows how to tell you, get to work and still not even condemn you in that sense. Not take your salvation away from you. But get to work.
Amen.
And we got to be open to those things.
Amen.
In order to be focused on the right thing. Now it's 8:30, so you got to give me a little bit more time. I won't preach as long as Brother Moore. I got two more scriptures at least I got to get to. Turn me to Leviticus. Now I want to get us up to our day. You know, I was talking to you about as an individual, but I also want to come back around and realize you as an individual by yourself is not the only thing going to rapture. We said it over and over and over. You're connected to this church body, bigger than you. This church has got to focus on the right thing. Brother Moore is setting the direction of this church. Focus on the right thing for this church. As Brother Moore says, hey, we're going to South Carolina. We're going to get on a bus. We're going to take a trip. You know what focus on the right thing as a church body means? For planning, preparing, getting ready. But I won't stop there. You're part of a bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want to come back to the big picture now. Focus on the right thing up here. That we are bride of Jesus Christ. And I want to go to our 8th day scripture because we've been throwing that term out a lot. But I want to go back and just slow down a little bit and talk about this for a minute. But I want you to realize something. God, if you read the book of Revelation, has told us there's going to be 7 churches. In other words, we call them 7 ages. And we see them written up here right before us because as they opened the seals, the first thing we got to see clearly was this right here. The building of that body. But what I want you to realize is all 7 are up here.
Amen.
There's not just 3 up here. There's not just 5 up here. There's not just 6 up here. All 7 are right up here, known and revealed.
Amen.
Now think about that.
Amen.
Every name's been revealed. That means we're not in the same spot we were when we were in the sixth age.
That's right.
That means we're not in the same spot we were when we were at the beginning of the seventh age. We are beyond building a body. We're beyond a lot of things. I don't want to say I'm so strong, but the gospel went around the world. You can say it that way. The justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That process has happened, Brother Moore. And you say, what do you mean? Well, remember we talk about Luther. What did he preach? Justification. What did Wesley preach? Sanctification. What happened instead? Restoration of gifts. Until it could make way for the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, which happened and the Son of Man showed up. But the point I'm trying to make before I read my scripture is you got to know and focus on the right thing up here too. Because if you don't, you will have the bride doing the wrong thing. You'll be focused on the wrong job. You'll be focused on the wrong area, but you got to be looking at it the right way. So we're going to Leviticus. Chapter 23. I'm going to read one verse for you. This is the scripture Brother Branham referenced first, anyhow. There's other ones you could use, but in future home, we start talking about an eighth day. 7 days. This is Leviticus 23, verse 36. You shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Now, Brother Branham, when he was preaching Future Home, he felt it in the crowd. Because you can read your Bible, and you can see sevens all over the place. You can see threes all over the place. You can see five all over the place. And he was feeling the attitude and feeling. He said, I can hear you. You say, you run out of your sevens, Brother Branham. You're a dispensationalist. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go now? And I liked what he said. I got another scripture for you. See, everything we preach is in this Bible.
Amen.
And all it takes is just give me one scripture in there, and God can run that thing with everything else. And Brother Brandon went back here. He went back to the Old Testament. He found this scripture. And he said, you know, when you get past all the feast days, get past all 7 days, he says you go into the eighth day. And he used that to bring us up here. He said, that was just in the Old Testament. He said, but come up here and make it real to us. We went through the 7 days. We went through the 7 church ages. We know who the bride is.
Amen.
We are now in an eighth day.
Amen.
And I always like to say this because you say, well, eighth day, what's that mean, right? That's just a term in one sense to try to explain to you that we're in eternity.
Back to
eternity.
Amen.
Why? Because when you think of a regular week, it's got 7 days in it.
Right.
If you count eight, you're out of the week.
Right.
You're out of time.
Right.
So it's a number that God uses to try to show you it's different than your standard 7-day week.
Amen.
It's an eighth day. You're not in the counting of the week anymore. You're back to the first day, Alpha and Omega, 0 and 8. That's where we're at.
Amen.
You're in an eighth day.
Right.
That's why we have been taught so strongly here and haven't been so focused on trying to do all the work of a 7th church age bride body.
Right.
When we actually realize we're in eternity.
Amen.
We're in the eighth day.
Right.
We're in the bride age.
Amen.
See, I'd like to slow down for some of us because we talk about all the time. Well, he didn't want to marry a partial wife.
Right.
Well, if we'd only came up here to Luther, that would have been 5 ages.
Right.
That would have been partial. He was going to marry a 7th church age bride. But when it was fully developed, and you come through all 7, you get a fully developed bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody that has the full word of God restored back to her again, has the word in the right order, he can come down and marry her.
Right.
And reveal her. Because
right.
He had her hidden, but when she's on her feet and the devil can't do anything with her, he comes down and marries her.
Amen.
And she becomes Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, I'm saying this to you, and you've heard him so much, you're like, that ain't a big deal. But I'm here to tell you, people miss this all the time. They're trying to build a body. They're still trying to work. Still trying to get you in. Still trying to get 1,000 souls saved. I'm not saying intentions are bad, But that's not where we are. We're with a bride that's standing on her feet.
Amen.
That's why when I get excited about that quote where Brother Brandon says there's no more threes, right, and there's no more sevens and no more things such as time and number, why that excites me? Because it means the body's built. Yeah. The bride's ready. Right. She's ready to go home. We're not waiting for the midnight cry. No. The midnight cry's been going on.
Amen. That's right.
Yep. Redemption is over. Him sitting on that mercy seat up in heaven, intercessory work is completed. He's now in the hearts of the believers. He's come down and stepped on earth. Silence in heaven, noise on earth. He's here now. And we hear all the time, but this excites me because for us to know it means we're looking for the right thing. We're looking at the right way. We're focused on the right thing. Because if we're focused on another age, we're not doing our job. We'd be like Moses trying to build an ark. But I'm not like Moses trying to build an ark. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I recognize the bride's on her feet. I recognize she's Mrs. Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to build Mrs. Jesus Christ. I am Mrs. Jesus Christ. And that gets me excited. To preach it any other way, we'd be looking at this thing wrong.
Amen.
But we're looking at it right, Brother Deskins. I'm not waiting for another age. I'm not waiting for another prophet.
Yes, sir.
And why that's so important for me to see is I realize how close I am to getting out of here.
Amen.
It makes me realize the only thing I'm waiting on is this body change. Because I'm not so revelated that me saying that's just so, I've known that for 20 years, people.
Oh, yeah.
That's gotten stronger for me here recently.
Amen.
Probably known a little bit of it for a while, but
right,
you want to talk about how bright it really is?
Right.
That's been here recently.
Amen.
I'm a little bit like marriage, like Brother Brandon said about marriage and divorce here in a few days.
Yeah.
We'll understand the correctness of marriage and divorce. Well, I'm here to admit to you, not only too long ago, I'd been saying the same thing.
Right.
I now see the correctness of how close we are to getting out of here.
Amen.
I now see the correctness of how far we've come.
Yeah.
I now see the correctness that I'm really in the eighth day.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out of time, you ain't got to worry about things.
That's right.
Just relax in this age.
Amen.
In that
Amen.
Sense. Don't be trying to work yourself into heaven. You've already made, your name's already revealed.
Yeah.
You've already
Amen.
Got your name in the book.
Amen.
Just realize he's coming back for you.
Okay.
I like what Seth said. I got my bag packed at the door waiting for him to say it's time to go. I'm ready.
Amen.
And tomorrow I might wake up and I'll do my work.
Sure.
That's an individual. But I'm ready.
Amen.
The bigger picture, I'm telling you what the really is about.
Amen.
It's about the rapture's at hand,
yes,
and it's been going on, and soon and very soon, any moment, any day, I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
To focus on anything else would be focused on the wrong thing.
Amen.
Nothing else on my plate.
That's right.
But the rapture. Because Brother Destin's, the body's been built.
Yes.
We've come through the processes.
Yes.
If he's married her, common sense, natural tells you, after you get married, you go to the wedding supper. That's what my next step is. As I get that body changed, I'm meeting him in the air. I'm going to a wedding supper. That's what I'm focused on. Not on the days and numbers. And Brother Branham honed in on that in the future home. He talked about the eighth day in other places, but you won't really want to hear about the eighth day. He talked about that in that future home. He tried to show us. We're not in the 7 days anymore in the church ages. See what that really as a bride, that's what I went to say earlier. For us, 1963, he came down and married us. And we stepped out of church age time. See, that's the eighth day we're talking about in this case. We're talking about church age time. Because you guys realize the earth still is cursed. It still has years. It's 2024. We're still counting time. Time is still on this earth. It's why there's volcanoes and tornadoes and weather stuff and tsunamis. It's groaning. It's travailing. It's in birth pains because it has not reached its eighth day yet. It's still in the sixth day, and you're exactly right. I ain't got time to go into that, but you're right. It's still in time.
Amen.
But we as a bride, in building of a bride in church age time, in 1963 when God came down, church age time ceased for us,
Amen,
and we stepped into the eighth day.
Amen.
We became Mrs. Jesus Christ, back to eternity,
Amen,
where we came from.
Amen.
That's where we are. That's where we're focused. That's why we behave the way we do. It's why we act the way we do. It's why we're like Jesus, and we're not worried about the critics. We're focused on the job at hand because we recognize where we are and where we're standing.
Amen.
We're looking at it the right way. I like being able to say that. Jesus broke a lot of their traditions. But, and I, you know, in some ways I'd love to just been there and watch this, but you know, you can just read the story. He just said it and just walked on. I have a tendency, I think, because of my flesh sometimes, I'll say it and I'm like, ooh, that was hard. That was rough. You know, you almost like, I wonder how that made them feel. Jesus just kind of said it. You want to go too? Is this offend you? You go with him if you want. You know, and Peter said, where else can we go? But Jesus knew his job. He knew his business. He said it and he went on. He wasn't worried about what they were thinking. And that's kind of where the bride is, right? We use wisdom. Jesus used wisdom. But we know our job. We know our hour. We know what we're here to do. And we're not slowing down for anybody. Because he didn't tell us to slow down. He said, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now I got one more scripture, Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And you know, I referenced it Sunday night and I wrote it down, but set your affection on things above. I like that scripture. Because you can be so focused on this earth and forget this is not even your home.
Amen.
See, this thing is a balance. And thank God, it ain't hard if you just listen to the word. So I ain't saying it's a hard balance, but not everybody can walk this thing. On one side, get ready for college. On the other side, this earth ain't my home. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to get out of here. So there's a balance on it. I'm focused on college, but I ain't too focused on college. It depends how you want me to talk about it. I'm ready to get out of here. But until then, I'll do my job. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. This is the scripture I thought I was coming with, but I had to read the other one first. But I like this scripture. Hebrews 9, I'm going to start the verse Brother Bram did and read down until we get to where we need to. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now listen to this. And unto them that look for him. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Without sin unto salvation. Brother Bram used that scripture to talk about look. Look for him to appear the second time. Now, that's our day, people. He came the first time and did his job back there and went up the Golgotha's Hill and hung on the cross, paid the sins of the world, resurrected, spread the good news. And we have a statement right here. He's come, but he's coming, right? Because he's come. Preach that so strong. He's in us. He's here. We have a full heart understanding. He's here. We're not waiting on him. He's here. He's in us. But you got to understand, in this second coming, not only does he come spiritually, he's going to appear physically to those that are looking for him. This is going to be a secret going away because not everybody sees him because not everybody knows how to look for him right. They got dogmas and creeds. But this bride, we know what we're looking for because we have the message of the hour. We have a clear word understanding. Amen. We know it's not some big natural trumpet like people think you might find me missing in the car. People are looking for the wrong thing. Amen. They don't know what the rapture even means. They don't know what Thessalonians 4 is all about. They don't know what coming a thief of the night means, but we do. Amen. And we know we're in the hour. We're at the end time. We're at the midnight cry. We're in the eighth day. We're in the time of him transforming us and giving us a new body. We know what we're looking for. Like Sister Alice used to say, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. So you said, I told you I was going to get to the rapture. Well, this is what this is. I'm looking for him to appear a second time. I know he's come and he's already in his second coming, but there's another part of this second coming. This physical coming. We're going to meet him in the air. I'm looking for him. I'm actually going to physically see Jesus Christ. I know what I'm looking for. And I know this is the hour. in the season for him to come. If I wasn't looking for that, I'd be in the wrong spot, the wrong place. I'd be like the men that Jesus asked, what did you go out to see? And missing God left and right. I'm not looking for him in the church ages. I'm not looking for him preaching the gospel around the world. I'm not looking for some big, great revival. We're already in the bride's revival. I'm looking for him to appear in the sky. Because as we've preached, and as Brother Spivey preached Sunday, and as Brother Shores used to remind me every once in a while, Jeremiah, there's two phases of adoption. First phase, you got to get born again. Puts God right in you. And that's what we all have. But you know, we're still waiting on that second phase. Paul said in Romans 8, we're all travailing, groaning till we come to the full manifestation of the Son of God. And you say, what do you mean, Jeremiah? Amen. I'm going to be right in this body.
Right.
I'm going to have the right spirit. I'm going to be right all three realms.
Amen.
I won't be satisfied till I awaken his likeness. And in order to see him and to go meet him physically, this body's got to change.
Right.
As Brother Branham said, we can't meet him in this kind of body.
Right.
He's going to change the people. He's been working on changing for a while now. But I'm getting ready to, as we said so many times, I'm going to be young again. Some people are going to be raised up older. We're going to be a perfect body. I can only describe it the best I can. Wait till we're in it.
Yeah.
We'll really know what it's like then, Brother Moore.
Oh, yeah.
As we said, in one sense, we're probing at it right now. The best we can see is what Brother Bram told us about it, what the Bible tells us about it.
Right.
But as with anything, until you're there and in it, you won't know it.
Amen.
Somebody goes on vacation. And I really do. I enjoy their stories. I enjoy them coming back and telling me about it. But it's not as real.
Amen.
Unless I go myself. And I see it the same thing for myself.
Amen.
They say a picture's worth 1,000 words. That may be true, but those pictures don't do certain spots justice. I've been out there on vacation trying to take a picture of something. You come back and you show somebody, it's like, it was prettier than this. This is a letdown.
Yeah.
But if you get there yourself, and you see it with your own eyes.
Amen.
Nothing like it. And I want to close with this statement Brother Branham said, look, because I liked it. He says, you can't tell anybody what to look for if you don't see it yourself. Now think about that. That's a nice statement. If you don't see something yourself, what are you going to tell anybody to look at? If you don't have a revelation, how are you going to give somebody a revelation?
Right.
And I kind of like that, but I know what to look for.
Amen.
I see it by revelation. And I can tell others, this is what you should be looking for.
Amen.
Let's look for, looking for the right thing is the title.
Amen.
God bless you. Come on, Pastor Moore.
Bless you, brother. There is so much in that. Looking to the right thing. You know, I was sitting there and listening. And I got a lot of notes I got, but I'm not going to go into that. But the one thing I do want to say is we got it backwards. Not us, but I mean, we as human beings, we got it backwards. We think that we have to do something to bring it on. And the majority of the world aren't even looking for anything. And for us, we need to look to the right things, because when you see the right things, you'll see how it lines up with the scripture. And my mind went back all the way through the Bible. It says every time that God ever did anything, the world has to catch up. When God talked to Moses and said, I'm going to deliver my children from Egypt. When Moses went down there, really all Moses had to do is look for God. Because God was going to deliver him. It wasn't going to be Moses. And looking to God, God brought him out of Egypt. And Pharaoh had to catch up with the word of God. Because God spoke it. Moses was the fulfillment of it. But it couldn't happen until Pharaoh got mad and lost his firstborn. So Moses was ready to go when he went down to Egypt. It wasn't that Moses had to get ready. Moses was ready. When God dealt with Noah and he built that ark, Noah got in that ark and sat in there for 7 days. Noah had to wait on the world to catch up with the Word of God. And he sat there, and if he was looking at the right thing, and he was, he was looking at the right thing. He said, God spoke to me. He told me to build the ark. The ark's here. We're in it. The door's closed. He was looking and focused on the right thing. Well, the world had to catch up with the Word of God. Same as when Jesus came. When Jesus came in that manger, he was here, and the world had to catch up with the Word of God to let the world understand that the Messiah had come. And I was thinking about all this, thinking about how you should focus on the right things, because when God moves, he moves first, then the world has to catch up. You know, we've been ready for a long time. We've been focused for a long time. We have focused on the right thing for a long time. And we've been sitting in this ark. We've been sitting in this message. We've been looking around here. We have not added one more revelation, have not added one more quote, not added anything else. All we're doing is sitting here focusing on the right thing and watching the world, because the world's got to catch up with what God's word already promised for us to do in this hour. And there's nothing for us to do. Not in the sense that we got to go and produce. We are the Word of God. Yeah. And the Word of God says it's at the end time. The Word of God says you're going to get a body change. We need to focus on those things. Right. Just keep your eye on them. Don't say, well, let me work it up. You don't have to work it up. Amen. Brother Brown said it's already been spoken. Now let it manifest. If we could focus on what God's already spoken this hour, it'll take all the worry off of you. You know, sometimes we won't step out on the Word of God because we're afraid of what everybody else thinks. But if you focus on the right things, you won't worry about what anybody's saying around you, what anybody thinks around you. You'll get your eyes off of everybody else. Worship, you'll come in and worship God because you know what you're here to do.
That's right.
You'll focus on the right things. You'll be able to manifest the Word of God in this hour because you're focusing on the right thing. I'm focusing on a body change. I'm focusing on the message of the hour. I'm focusing that we've had a prophet. You know, I'm focused on these things, and I'm watching the world condition starting to match what the Word of God already said. So I'm not nervous about the world's condition. I know it's got to get that way. But I'm not focusing on the world condition. People are focusing on, oh, look at Israel. Oh, look at the world. Oh, look at all the people that they're awful. They're this or that. Yes, but the Word said it was going to be that way. I'm focusing on the Word of God who said it was going to be this way. It's not going to make me nervous. It's make me sure that I know who I am. It makes me more sure because I'm focusing on the things above and not on the things below.
Amen.
And people are still trying to make churches happen, make things happen, trying to build, and trying to stay here. I'm not trying to stay here. I'm focused on a body change. I'm focused on a marriage supper. I'm focused on the uniting times and signs, the bride uniting. I was thinking about when Jeremiah was preaching. I said, you know, when I was an apostolic, Luther was not going to heaven. We didn't put Luther in. We didn't put Wesley in. We didn't even put the Trinitarian Pentecostals in. But now that we can look and focus on the entire body, grace is for the entire body. And we all need it. But nobody could give it until this day. Grace could not really be applied to the bride body until this hour. Because they didn't know what to focus on. They didn't know what to... We focused on tongues. They focused on good living. Baptists focused on just believing. And Lutherans focused on just justification. And they focused on a section. But now we're focusing on the whole body. The whole thing. This is the right thing to focus on. And when you do that, God's going to make everything else line up with his word. No one's had the word until this hour. Now we can focus on the right things. Now we know how to apply grace. Now we know how to forgive each other. Now we know how to have true love for the bride. And not just for Fairborn, but you got to have love for the bride, the living bride. You can't just say, well, oh, I love Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and Brother Branham. And skip the living message people. You gotta love them too. Because they're part of the body. And when they want forgiveness, you gotta give it to them. And they gotta forgive you. If they're focusing on the right things. And it's not hard. It's not something you got to focus and work on. Like I said, God's word speaks it, and it just manifests itself out through you. That's how it works. And if we're the final voice to the final age, you don't have to try to be the final voice to the final age. You just are. If the capstone's going to come down crying, grace, 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 you don't have to force yourself to love somebody. You're so full of grace, you don't have nothing else to give. People look at me and say, well, how can you forgive that person? Got to. He forgave me. So the things that people are looking at and think you got to work, it's the spoken word of God. You just live. Just live. And watch the word of God live out through you. Don't hold back. Follow the instructions. Move as God tells you to move. And you'll be right where God wants you when the body change comes. You won't be too slow. You won't be too late. You won't be too short. You won't be missing things. You know what? When you don't listen to God, you don't take away your salvation. You take away your blessings. You take the heart away. Like I said, you can go in the car or you can go in a bumper. Either way, you're going. You know, we can drag you all the way home. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a part of this. This message costs too much. This is this, that. Go ahead. Bumper for you. If you can hang on to the bumper, because usually they don't hang on to the bumper, they get drugged behind the car. But if you just surrender and focus on the right things and what's really important, that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then everything else will be added. If you need a job, seek him first. If you need a peace of mind, seek him first. If you need whatever, seek him first. Don't go after the girl before you go after God. Don't go after the guy before you go after God. Don't go after the job before you go after God. Don't try to get blessed by God before you surrender to God. You know, focus on the right things. And if you're struggling, it's your fault. Because he's given us everything we need. You're just not focusing on the right thing. Sometimes we don't focus on ourselves right. We look at ourselves, oh, I'm short here, I'm short here, I'm short there, I'm short. Do you realize you're one in a million? Do you realize nobody can eat what you're eating? Do you realize nobody can see what you can see? Do you realize God's talking to you and God's not talking to them? God's revealing himself to you and he's not revealing himself to them? And you're going to sit there and act like you're deprived? Amen. You're not focusing on the right thing. When you really look at the hour we're living in and the condition that the world's in, realizing we are in the ark, it's done. We're sealed in. And they're sealed out. And we're not trying to build one more chair. Just needed eight. Don't need one more plate. And just as much as you can't get out, they cannot get in. Just as much as you can't help but to focus on the right thing, they can't help but to focus on the wrong. Because they don't have something inside of them that's saying, this is this, this is that, this is this, this is that. They don't have that. They don't have that message. They don't have that opening of the seals. They don't have the revelation that we have. So you're in pretty good shape. You just need to focus on the right things. And when you do, I don't care what problem you have. When you focus on the right things, you'll realize, you know what? I've got it made. And there's no struggle now. God's already said it. Just let me surrender to him and focus on what he wants from me as an individual, whether you're young or old. He wants something from each one of us. And he deserves it. He deserves it. So focus on the right thing, and you'll not mess this thing up for you. You're not going to mess it up for me. Enjoy that, Brother Jeremiah. Come on, musicians. Now, remember Brother Jim and their family. We're going to go. I'm going to go with Brother Chris Loudon to Indiana tomorrow. We're going to go to the funeral. The viewing's tomorrow evening, and the funeral is Friday morning. So keep Jim and their family in your prayers. And we'll see you all, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. Now we go back to Bible study Sunday night. David.
I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for being here. You know, another year is here, mm-hmm. and that means we have a job to do.
That's
so
right.
I'm just looking forward to this year, and whatever God says, I want to do it. So,
amen.
Amen.
God bless
you guys.
He'll hold you to that. But that's how you do it. You drive that stake. Make that claim. Stand on it. Amen. So, somebody got something here. Let's see. What a mighty God we serve. I always sing that, don't I? Because he's mighty. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Come back on Sunday morning, and we'll see what else God has in store. I enjoyed Jeremiah. And continue to remember those that have been sick and need prayer. There's a brother George in Africa who's got a son that's going to be going in for surgery. Remember him. He contacts me all the time, and so I thought I'd just throw that out there because he's getting ready to have the surgery sometime in January, sometime soon. So remember him. Remember Brother Rosaldo in San Diego, just a bride around the world. There's a lot of people that could use a touch from God. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels bow before us, heaven and earth adore. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God.
I serve. Here to speak.